Who do you want to talk about first?
Mick Sherman. The Athletic.
He can play. And we need people that can play.
And we'll never be royal. Let me live that fantasy.
Oh. Mick Sherman. Oh. The Athletic. Oh. On The Connor Happer Show. On 1620, The Zone.
He can play.
All right, joined on the 42 Degrees Source Hotline by Mitch Sherman of The Athletic, live from Werner Park. Mitch, I heard the celebs are out today. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm just standing here next to Marty Cordero, but he hasn't. Oh, there he goes. There comes the fist bump. How you doing? I'm on Connor's show right now. So.
Oh yeah. Tell Marty we said hi.
Yeah, Connor says Connor and Josh say hi. He's got an earpiece in his ear with Connor.
Oh. Ask him when I'm going to be on the crossover.
Okay, he wants to be on the crossover.
Yeah.
So, make that happen.
Okay.
But, Skeens is on the hill throwing triple digits. That last pitch was 87. So lots of kids out here at Werner Park today. It is a beautiful day. Now I'm taking a selfie with Marty. So it's great. Everything's going on. I'm happy to be your. You guys have brunch on later?
No, that was just a mistake by our confused producer.
I don't know what day it is, Mitch.
All right, because he is sitting. Like, I don't know how there's not like a pirate scout sitting where he's sitting, but they must have much worse seats than him, because he's in the front row, front and center. I was actually sitting next to Michael when he bought his ticket yesterday during media availability in Lincoln, and wow. I can't believe that was available. It's the front row, right behind home plate.
I heard all the celebs are out today. So you guys, I heard Bill Ramsey threw out the first pitch. I'm sure that was electric.
Oh, I was in. That would be like a lightning bolt. Yeah, I was in line with the kids outside behind home plate during the first pitch, I think.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it's very exciting. By the way, what are the screaming kids' reaction to anytime anything happens?
Yeah, I don't think they, well, I mean, there was a fly ball off the bat of the first storm chaser that was pretty well hit to center field, and they went crazy. and that's the only time so far that the chasers have touched Skeens. It's been strikeouts. Since then, I'm not sure about the first batter here in the second, but he struck out everybody else in the first.
Hey,
so.
Usually
this just in.
Yeah. Usually we don't have we don't have conversations about manipulating service time on this show, but just by the look out of it, and what he's done so far in his very, very young AAA career, I don't think he should be there. That's my hot take. I think he should probably be on the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, I think pretty quick that'll happen, although his scoreless inning streak is now in jeopardy because C.J. Alexander just tripled off the right field wall, and the right fielder is down on the track. He ran into the wall pretty hard. He's up now.
Man.
So, one out in the bottom of the second, and they're threatening to score what I believe would be the first run allowed of Paul Skeens's professional career.
All right, let's just let you break in whenever you see that run score, but we're going to ask you Husker football questions in the meantime. Does that work?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so what do you think we're going to get out of the spring game on Saturday? From whichever way you'd like to take it, from a functionality standpoint, from like how they're actually going to run it to how good of a glimpse we get at who's in front or behind in the quarterback race or running backs, like, how much do you think we'll learn on Saturday? Maybe that's what I'm asking.
Well, some people might think that they're going to learn some stuff if they're in the seats, and I think they'd be wrong. I don't think we're going to learn very much. Maybe by the order in which the players come into the game at the running back spot could tell you a little bit. I don't think it will at the quarterback. I think they're going to go to lengths to just continue to kind of keep that thing as much of a mystery as they can, although it's not really a mystery. And everything else, everything that goes on the field as far as like trying to make evaluations, broad evaluations about where things are at on the depth chart, 100 miles an hour off the right arm of Skeens, it's all going to be, I mean, this is all like one data point out of 100 and some that the coaches have through the entire offseason. So it's worth about that much. Like, it factors maybe like 1% or less in terms of determining like who's a starter at this position or that. But, you know, it's valuable in the sense that they're playing in front of a crowd of 60,000, and you get to see how young players especially react and like the closest thing you can get to a game simulation.
What did you think about Marcus Satterfield's comments yesterday talking about how they challenged Dylan Raiola to kind of show a little bit of that personality and get some pep in his step, whatever it might be? Like, I don't know, we talked about it a little bit this morning on the podcast, but that's kind of something that you don't necessarily say to like your second string quarterback or your third string quarterback. I guess how'd you take that yesterday from Satterfield?
Yeah, I thought it was the most transparent thing that anybody said about Dylan through the entire spring, because of your point exactly, that if he's going to be redshirting in 2024 or your backup, then there's no reason to make a statement that to him, Skeen is just a lot of run off the bat of Nate Eaton, who was thrown out at second base trying to stretch it into a double because he was so happy that he got an RBI off Paul Skeen. So that'll be something he can tell his grandkids. So it's 5-1. Skeens will allow runs. He has an ERA above 0 now.
Wow.
To finish that thought, he's clearly elevated above a place Dylan Raiola has, where, you know, he's just another guy on the roster, and Satterfield is just recognizing the fact and pointing it out to Dylan that his actions are important. I think Dylan was already in Dylan's mind. If you heard him, talk with Will Compton on his podcast interview a couple of weeks ago, you heard Dylan talk about how he understands that it's important that when he goes out, that like his outfit, like he looks good and like the colors match. And so he already knows that eyes are on him outside of the program. And I think what he's figuring out here, you know, just 12 or 13 practices into his first spring, is that there's a lot of eyes also on him inside the program. And that matters too.
Yeah. Mitch Sherman of The Athletic is with us. One more for you, Mitch. Do you think Nebraska will, I guess, how much energy will they approach the transfer portal with after the spring game, especially at the position of running back? Like, do you think that they'll be actively searching for a running back?
If somebody leaves from that position, then I think that will make it a priority. Right now, with 5 scholarship running backs, and if everybody stays through next Tuesday, then I think look, Ramir Johnson's obviously not going anywhere. Dante Dowdell's not going anywhere. He just got to Nebraska. Gabe Irvin is not going anywhere. Injuries have held him back, but he's a team guy through and through. I don't see anything else where I look at it and go, okay, Emmett Johnson or Quentin Ives is on the way out, but things happen in the portal that we don't anticipate. If it's status quo and everybody's still around on May 1st, then it would take a special player for Nebraska to want to go out and find somebody. Dylan Edwards, who we've talked about, this morning, Connor, on the Locked On podcast, is I think probably at that level that Nebraska would make an exception and say, yeah, you're a special player. He's the Colorado back out of Kansas who Nebraska recruited heavily when he was a senior in high school, and then he was right there at the beginning of the season with Shadur Sanders and Travis Hunter and Jimmy Horn and the others who were stars for the Buffs. I think they'd get involved in that if they could. But you know, it may be a predetermined thing where he's going to go back and play in the state of Kansas and be alongside Avery Johnson, his friend from their high school days, as a pretty lethal QB running back combination for the Wildcats.
Hey, is that Nate Rohr on the PA today?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The roar of the crowd.
Tell him to pipe down. Okay. Calm down a little bit. That's all. I know he's excited about Nebraska softball's walk-off wins yesterday, but he's carried that energy into today.
So I should go up in the press box and tell Nate to calm down?
Yes. Sincerely, Connor Happer. Yes.
All right. I don't have a media credential out here, so we'll see if I can get up there. But I'll try.
Okay.
I'll try.
Bye, Mitch. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Mitch Sherman of The Athletic. Never know what you're going to run into. Never know what you're going to run into.
He really handled that weaving in and out of
it. He really did. He jumped. It was like he was broadcasting a baseball game in a way. He's like, I have something I want to say, but also, oh, look, a run has scored. That's basically baseball on the radio right there.
The streak is over.
Indeed. Nate, we're a little late on our stream here from when Mitch gave us the play-by-play, maybe by as much as about 5 minutes, it seems.
It seemed a very healthy amount of time, yes.
I think we've had some freezes in here. That's probably more of an us problem than it is an anything else problem.
The Wi-Fi in this building is famously excellent.
Like Nate Eaton, he got a hit off of Paul Skeens and drove in a run, and then he, you know, thought he was going to make it into second, didn't slide, thought he avoided the tag and just, like, kept going to third, but he was out. He was definitely out the entire time. So there you go. Paul Skeens' ERA is no longer 0.00. But yes, he should be in the major leagues. It's probably time to say it.
Sure, seems that way.
You can't be blowing 100 miles an hour by AAA guys for as, you know, it's only been like 3 weeks, but it's been too long. It's time to go. Time to go, Paul.
He seems good enough.
Yeah, he seems good enough, and it's not just the 100 like you mentioned earlier. He's got a little slider. He throws this thing called a splinker.
Oh.
That is a split sinker. A split sinker. And then he's added, I was watching some videos with him last night, he's added a curveball basically into the repertoire as well. He's got different shapes of, like, the box that you wanted to check with him was, can he pitch, right? We know he can throw, but can he pitch? I think he could pitch.
Important distinction.
So, yeah, he needs to not be in AAA anymore. It's a bit of a sham if you're asking me. All right, quick timeout. We'll come back. Josh has the odd news. Remember, the tweet bag is coming up. We have a couple questions in so far. Get your questions in at Happer Show on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed or anywhere else you'd like to get in touch with the show. We'll open that up at noon. Josh has the odd news next on 1620 The Zone.